Well, here's a question that I am assuming you'll never be asked again in any church setting, and that is, what is soul food? You might have heard about it. Question is, have you ever tried it? Soul food blends cuisines from West Africa, Western Europe, and the Americas, and it features a variety of common and rather uncommon dishes that have been termed curious and even delicious. Adrian Miller, the author of a book called Soul Food, The Surprising Story of an American Cuisine, One Plate at a Time, in 2016 created a top 10 list of the best soul food dishes ever served. This is his esteemed list. Coming in at number 10 was chitlins, which, for those who do not know, are pig intestines. I am sorry that I even had to say that in the environment of a church. That is just bad. All right, let's get on to better things. Number 9, black-eyed peas. Number 8, sweet potato pie. Number 7, according to Miller, is cornbread. Number 6, fried fish. Folks, you can see a trend here with the exception of the chitlins. I think I'm starting to like soul food. Number 5, this one's interesting, red drink. The number 5 thing of soul food that he ranked, red drink. By the way, I'm guessing that's Kool-Aid, and I'm certainly guessing that's not Gatorade. All right, number 4, a little more up our alley, peach cobbler. Number 3, my youngest daughter is smiling right now, mac and cheese. Number 2, greens. And number 1 soul food ever rated by Adrian Miller, who claims that he is an expert, would be fried chicken. So, while many would say that this soul food tastes good, the reality is that not much of it is actually good for you. So let's talk about a Christian's soul food. What about a Christian soul food? We're not talking about chitlins or chicken. We're certainly not talking about black-eyed peas and mac and cheese, but rather the proverbial spirit-filled food that feeds and nourishes and fills our souls. Now, there's something to be said for this, because we have to consider what we are ingesting and digesting daily. And so I pose that question today. What are we ingesting and digesting daily that strengthens our soul always? Today, on this Holy Communion Sunday, we who believe in Jesus, love Jesus, and live for Jesus will be partaking of the elements of the Holy Sacrament, the bread and the cup, a Christian's soul food, if you will. We will do this and we will revere and remember Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. I want to read our sermon text for today. And again, this is not unusual. We read, typically, we kind of vary the gospel passages with regards to our communion service. We also read the Pauline passage that comes from 1 Corinthians 11. But what I want to do is I want to focus on this idea of soul food and what this might mean to all of us. So let's get started with Luke 22, starting with verse 7. It says, "Now the day of the Passover celebration arrived, when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. 'Where do you want us to go?' they asked. And he," Jesus replied, "'as soon as you enter Jerusalem, you will see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the man who lives there, "Our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there." They went off to the city and they found everything just as Jesus had said and prepared the Passover supper. Then Jesus and the others arrived and at the proper time all sat down together at the table, and he said, "I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God." Then he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." Verse 19, then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, "This wine is a token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan. But oh, the horror awaiting that man who betrays me." Then the disciples wondered among themselves which of them would ever do such a thing. They began to argue among themselves as to who would have the highest rank in the coming kingdom. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men order their slaves around, and the slaves have no choice but to like it. But among you, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Out in the world, the master sits at the table and is served by his servants, but not here, for I am your servant. Nevertheless, because you have stood true to me in these terrible days, and because my Father has granted me a kingdom, I here and now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And now we move forward, and I want to look at 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. We'll read through 32, and here's what Paul has to say. He says, "For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I've passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again.' So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. And that is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you carefully examine yourselves before eating, you will not need to be judged and punished. Yet when we are judged and punished by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the rest of the world. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word." Now, Paul's passage and Jesus' message speaks synonymously about the importance of saved man spiritually, this is going to sound weird, consuming Jesus. Now, I want you to make sure we heard this correctly, because I did say it, I think, correctly, and that is, we consume Jesus. Now, many of you might come into a church and say, "Wait a second, what do you mean I consume Jesus?" Well, we're going to find out exactly what that means, because this is an ingestion and a digestion of Jesus' word and Jesus' will and Jesus' wisdom and Jesus' way. And every time we say, "I want to consume Jesus," we're saying, "I want all of these things in me. I want Jesus to change me, and I want him to stay in me." Now, it's interesting, because in John 6, 1 through 14, we find Jesus feeding of the 5,000, that's not counting women and children. Some have speculated that could have been over 10,000 people gathered there to consume the food that Jesus was going to provide. And he did it with 5 loaves of barley and a couple of fish. Now, what's interesting is, not only was there enough for everyone, but 12 baskets were filled and overflowing with leftovers. Now, let's make sure we understand this. Jesus fed this crowd physically and memorably. We don't want to miss this. But in verses 22 through 71 of John chapter 6, some very interesting things appear. You see, Jesus was about to introduce a brand new type of soul food, a sustaining means to feed these people spiritually. They'd just been fed physically. They had just been fed memorably. But Jesus was going to do something unique. He was going to feed them spiritually. So I want to look at this passage. This is John chapter 6. And let's go there. And we're going to read verses 26 through 40. I'll probably interrupt myself as we go. Let's get started. Jesus says this: "The truth of the matter is that you want to be with me," he's talking to the crowds, "because I fed you, not because you believe in me." Now, Jesus identifies and understands that he gave them the food that they needed. They were obviously thankful for it. Certainly, they understood what he was willing to do for them. And he goes on. He says, "But you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food." He says, "No, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for this very purpose." They replied, "Well, what should we do to satisfy God?" And Jesus told them, "This is the will of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." They replied, "Well, you must show us more miracles if you want us to believe you're the Messiah. Give us free bread every day. like our fathers had while they journeyed through the wilderness. As the scriptures say, Moses gave them bread from heaven. And folks, let me stop for just a moment. Obviously, these folks, this crowd, these people are focused on what Jesus could do for them physically. Now, we can understand this because, let's face it, I think most of us would say we like bread and we like fish. And certainly, if you're hungry, that would be something that would be memorable. That would be something that would touch you. That would be something you wouldn't forget. But Jesus says this regarding that bread from heaven. Jesus says, Moses didn't give it to them. My Father did. And now he offers you true, capital B, bread from heaven. The true bread is a person, capital P, the one sent by God from heaven, and he gives life to the world. And all of a sudden, Jesus is now establishing himself as the perfect soul food. He goes on. They said, sir, give us that bread every day of our lives. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. Those believing in me will never thirst. But the trouble is, as I've told you before, you haven't believed even though you've seen me. But some will come to me, those the Father has given me, and I'll never, never reject them. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to have mine own way. Verse 39, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all these he has given to me, but that I should raise him to eternal life at the last day. For it is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal life, that I should raise him at the last day. Now let me make sure we understand this. Because in these verses, Jesus was essentially saying, feed on me. You see things physically, Jesus says, I want you to feed on me spiritually. I want you to consume me, ingest me. I want you to digest me. I want to be inside of you, and I want to be part of you so you'll be part of me. Now let's move on. Verses 47 through 58, John chapter 6. Again, one of the most famous passages regarding this very text. Here's what Jesus says. He says, how earnestly I tell you this, anyone who believes in me already has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. When your fathers in the wilderness ate bread from the skies, they all died. But the bread from heaven gives eternal life to everyone who eats it. I am that living bread, Jesus says, that came down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread shall live forever. This bread is my flesh given to redeem humanity. Well, then the Jews began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us flesh to eat? They asked. And so Jesus said it again. With all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this, unless you eat the flesh of the Messiah and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who does not eat my flesh and drink my blood, anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him at the last day. For my flesh, here it comes, is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. And everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is in me, and I in him. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me. And in the same way, those who partake of me shall live because of me. I am the true bread from heaven. And anyone who eats this bread shall live forever and not die as your fathers did, though they ate bread from heaven. Now, folks, it's one of the strangest passages, I think, in Scripture. John 6:66. I'm not sure there was a mistake there. John 6:66. By the way, if you read that passage, if you're there right now, you can see what it says. But it says many of the disciples left. Now, let me tell you why many of the disciples left. They were confused by what Jesus had said. They didn't want to buy what Jesus had said. They were scared of what Jesus had said. And yet Jesus looks at the 12 disciples, those who were closest to him, said, are you going to go too? They said, where else would we go? You see, they got it. Those disciples understood that Jesus was, in fact, the true soul food. It wasn't about black-eyed peas and mac and cheese. It wasn't about chitlins and chicken. It was about Jesus Christ saving them. And they got it. And today we are called to get it. You see, every day we are called to ingest and digest Jesus. We are called to consume him on a daily basis. We are called to understand him. Jesus was essentially saying in this passage, my soul food is eternally life-giving and sustaining. Let me ask you this. Are we taking in what Jesus is giving out? Are we allowing him to provide for our earthly lives so that we can be prepared for eternal life? Now, I want to talk about how important food and water is. It's the most elementary thing I've ever talked about. It'll even seem rhetorical. Let's talk about this. Physically, it's important. Survival-mastery.com, a website you'll never go to unless you want to know how long you'll live without food. It claims that the human body can only go without food for 1 to 2 months. Water deprivation, according to this website, is limited to 3 to 7 days. Other health organizations agree. Folks, let's make it very simple. Without food and water, we die. Well, let's take it a step further. With tainted, bad, rancid, poison, and spoiled food and water, we will also die. Now, when it comes to food and water, either if we don't have enough or we just get the bad stuff, it will kill us physically. But let's look at this spiritually. Folks, if we refuse to ingest and digest Jesus' soul food, and by that I mean his word, his wisdom, his will, and his ways, and his living water that he talks about, John 4, 10 and 7, 37 through 39, we can, according to what we have just read in these passages, we can be impacted and affected physically. 1 Corinthians 11, 30 through 32 tells us this. We can be impacted spiritually. And we see this in Luke 22, 28 through 30, we just read. And we will also be impacted eternally, John 6, 47 through 51. Folks, we need his soul food. You want to live eternally? You got to ingest his soul food. You want to feel better physically? Let me tell you this, ingest his soul food. Feed on Jesus. Use him as your living water. Trust him as your source of all things. And understand that without his soul food, we don't live. We can't survive. Life doesn't look like it looks right now. We need it, and we feed on it. Jesus said to Satan during his temptation in Matthew 4, 4, he says, for the scriptures tell us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what we need. Matthew 5, 6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Folks, my question is, what are we ingesting and digesting to feed our souls and fuel our hearts and fill our minds? What are we taking in, and then what is going out? Is it the word of God and the righteousness of Jesus? Or is it the evil influences and awful resources from the world around us? I want to read a passage from Mark. This is Mark 7, 14 through 23. Listen to what these words say. Jesus called to the crowd to come in here, and he says, all of you listen, he said, and try to understand it. He says, your souls aren't harmed by what you eat, but by what you think and say. Then he went into a house to get away from the crowds, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the statement he had just made. Don't you understand either, he asked. Can't you see that what you eat won't harm your soul? For food doesn't come in contact with your heart, but only passes through the digestive system. By saying this, he showed that every kind of food is kosher. And then he says this, it is the thought life that pollutes. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts of lust and theft and murder and adultery, wanting what belongs to others, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, pride, and all other folly. All these vile things come from within. They are what pollute you and make you unfit for God. What are we ingesting? What are we taking in? What are we watching? What are we seeing? Now, from a positive perspective, let me tell you this. We remember. You see, what we ingest, we remember. I think what we're ingesting, we're remembering. And I think that's true with a lot of things, but I especially think it's true with food. Sea bass at Biagi's, I'll never forget it. Every time I go to a restaurant, I'm like, oh, we have sea bass. I'm thinking, won't be as good as Biagi's. On a bed of potatoes. They had spinach around it with a red pepper sauce. I'll never forget it. Changed my life. It was unbelievable. I left there, I was thinking, well, there it is. I've hit the pinnacle of sea bass. Everywhere I go, I'm like, yeah, just keep your sea bass. The other night, my wife surprised me. She said, hey, I'm going to take you out for birthday dinner. I said, all right. And she said, where do you want to go? And I said, Epiphany Farms. Love it. They have roasted chicken at Epiphany Farms. This is a plug for Epiphany Farms. They're not paying me to say this, trust me. But they will be at the Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate Festival. So we went and we had roasted chicken. And the waiter kept coming over, server kept coming over and said, how is it? I'm like, you have no idea, man. Like, literally, I want you to sit down here and eat it with me. This is life-changing. It's roasted chicken and vegetables. It's life-changing. This is so good. We remember it. I've told everybody about it. I remember good meals. I do. 72% cacao, Ghirardelli. Last night, Jonathan and Kelsey Thompson were over at my house. I fed Kelsey my 72% cacao Ghirardelli. That's how much I love her. Didn't give it to Jonathan. So here's what I can tell you. We remember food, right? It's a great experience. If you go to a great restaurant, you remember what you ingest. And I think that's true. It's also something that is good. We remember the things that are good. For example, I lost a good friend of mine about 2 weeks ago, Andy Johnson, pastor at Arlington Christian Church, one of my very good friends and a good man. And Andy Johnson, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, at Olympia High School, gave one of the most rousing and unbelievable sermons I'd ever heard on a baccalaureate service. Every single time I saw him multiple times a year, I'd say, Andy, I still can't forget that sermon. sermon was amazing. We remember those things. We remember sermons. We remember memory verses. Romans 12:21, when I was a kid, I remember stumbling on it, the King James Version of the Bible. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Stuck with me the whole time. We remember good Bible verses. We remember miracles. We remember things that happened to us that changed us through the love and power of Jesus. We remember those things. That's what we ingest. But sadly and too often, we also remember the proverbial bad food and the stuff that was never good. The very things that harmed our souls and drove us deeper into sin and further away from God. 1 John 2:16, it calls it, and we can summarize it by this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These sinful and sadly memorable things are made manifest in such seemingly innocent things such as movie scenes, Netflix shows, the very things you flip on TV and say, I'll binge on it, I'm going to watch it, I'll ingest it. And all the while, it's just polluting us and corrupting us. But we ingest it. Sometimes we don't even question it. It's other things. Pornography. Illicit song lyrics. Profane words. The very things that taint our world. If it's not good, it's not of God, and we shouldn't be ingesting it. And when we ingest it, it changes us, and it changes us and moves us further away from Jesus. This is the stuff that we are guilty of. We ingested and digested this awful stuff, and for some, we may still be doing it. It is bad food for our souls, and it's never pleasing to God. And folks, let me tell you, it's never good. My question is, are we still ingesting and digesting the sinful stuff? When I was a kid, we had this big party where we went out to a cabin in the middle of the woods. I was young and impressionable. We had the wrong people around us. We went out in the middle of the night, out by an old, what was known as a haunted cemetery. Remember, all these guys got there and said, hey, we're going to watch a movie tonight. I'm thinking, well, that'll be fun. And they said the movie is a movie you probably never heard. It's called Nightmare on Elm Street. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. And out in the middle of nowhere, next to a haunted cemetery, right, and we're in this old cabin, and I'm thinking, this is not a good idea. I remember every single scene of that movie and the looks on my friends' faces as they were watching it. It haunts me to this day. You know what? We ingested it. We digested it. And I still have those memories. Folks, we can take in the good, and we can take in the things that aren't of God. And I can tell you, you don't want the things that are bad. We want the things that are of God. This is what we are called to ingest. What we take into our heart and our mind will ultimately come out by way of our words and actions. And so often, it's not good. This is why we need and feed on Jesus. And when we do this, we revere and we remember him. And he then, Luke 22, I love this line, he purchases back our souls, cleanses us from unrighteousness, and removes our sins. Jesus, his wisdom, his word, his will in his way is the ultimate and wonderful soul food that feeds and nourishes and strengthens our souls physically, spiritually, and ultimately, and finally, eternally. Today, as we ingest and digest his bread and his cup, we will not only revere it and remember it, and I hope we do, but we will also allow it to change us in the name of Jesus. So are we willing to take in what God and his righteous son are giving out? Today I pray that Jesus' body and Jesus' blood will be our sought after and treasured soul food. And may we choose today to read and remember and recite his holy word while doing his great work every single day. That, folks, is life-changing, sustaining soul food. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says this. He says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? Paul's strong words encourage us to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us before Jesus Christ. It's the opportunity and the means to ask this: who and what lives inside of us, and who is feeding us? Who or what is sustaining us and strengthening us? Today, either in our pews or here at this table, we are offered the distinct opportunity to come before the Lord, and as 1 John 1:9 tells us, to confess our sins and allow him to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. It's also a time for us to forgive others who have sinned against us. Jesus says in Luke 17:4, even if your brother wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, forgive him. Matthew 6:14 and 15, Jesus emphatically states, your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. let us all, in a time of silent prayer, come forward, or if you want to remain in your pew, you certainly can do this. Let us have, in this time of silent prayer, an opportunity to make our confession and seek after that forgiveness today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for what we've ingested, especially when it's not of you, but it's against you. Father, I pray today that you would help us to see what is right, and to know what is right, and to see what is wrong, and to avoid what is wrong. And I pray today that we will lean on your holy word that shows us the path to righteousness. I pray that we will follow the perfect example, your Son, our Savior, Jesus. And I pray that we will allow the Holy Spirit and all of his power to convict us. And that is why we bow our heads today. Because today we seek forgiveness. We're sorry. We ingest bad stuff. And Father, today I pray that you would remove this bad stuff. Father, I pray today that you'll help us to ask, is it going to be good for me? Is it going to nourish me? Is it going to strengthen me? And Father, if it is not biblical and it is not spiritual and if it's not from you, I pray today that we will say no to it. I pray that we'll walk away from it. And I ask today that we will ingest everything that is holy and from you. Thank you for being our ultimate soul food. Thank you for showing us that our souls need to be strengthened and helped. And I thank you today that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die that terrible death on that cross for each and every one of us, that we remember today and acknowledge that through Jesus Christ, we have been changed by Jesus. Father, I pray today that you will help us now as we move forward with this service. I pray that we would see the value and the ultimate glory that is surrounding this bread and this cup. And I pray today that you would help us as we partake it, we ingest it and digest it. I pray that we will understand that we are partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. And today we thank you for this time of service. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. These words of John come from Jesus in Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me." Folks, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let us stand and do what we do whenever we have our six communion services every year, and that is sing hymn number 460, "Let Us Break Bread Together." We're going to ask our servers and ushers to come forward, please. Always an honor to serve and to watch these great people help. And folks, let's talk just quickly about our communion service. We do this six times a year. We dedicate an entire Sunday to it because we just feel like it's that important. We've done it this way for as long as I've been here, and we kind of like it to go that way. A few things about Holy Communion. Number one, we ask that you be a believer in Jesus Christ to partake of the elements. You certainly do not have to partake. You can simply observe if you wish. That is your decision. But we do ask that you be a believer in Jesus to partake of those. We use juice. We do not use wine. In addition, you can come forward if you wish and kneel or stand here around the railing at the table. We will serve you here. We have capable people to do that. Also, if you want to come forward, need a little help, we can help you get down here. I know the ramp can get a little cumbersome at times. And then lastly and finally, you will notice that the elements are stacked. Bread on the bottom, cup of juice on top. twist carefully. We want to make sure that gets out okay. And we will partake of those elements together. Just follow my cue and follow our ushers and servers here, and they will lead you as well. And with that being said, I want to introduce, this is Pete and Sharon Cates. We love them, dear members of our family. And then also Alan and Terry Kleinschmidt, and we love them, dear members of our family. It's just an honor to serve with you and to be part of you with this. And they will bring those things to you if you wish. If you want to come forward, please come forward now. Join us here at the railing or at the table. You can do so now. Heavenly Father, who mercifully gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who at the cross offered Himself as a full and perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world, and who instituted in His holy gospel the command for us to continue this perpetual memory of His precious death until His coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we pray, and help us as we receive this bread according to Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, that we would remember His passion, His death, and His resurrection, and that we might partake in the divine nature through Him. Who in the same night that He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of Me." After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all this, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of Me." And may the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. And may the peace of the Lord be with everyone gathered here today, and you may return to your seats as you wish. Alan, Terry, thank you. Everyone who's serving, thank you so much. Jeff, Pete, Sharon, thank you so much. So folks, we're running a little short on time today, so we're not going to close with a final song. We are going to close with our pastoral prayer. And so this is a time of reflection, I think, and especially as we partake of the elements and as we have just partake of the Holy Communion. I want to mention something. We mentioned this earlier. Jim and Henrietta Phillips, we're going to pray for them. Many of you remember Jim and Henrietta. Jim is, I'm going to keep this brief, but we're going to share this in the funeral on Wednesday. Jim was a World War II hero. He had multiple Purple Hearts. I believe he also received a medal from another Medal of Service and Valor. His story is amazing, what he endured. He was shot at twice. We'll be sharing that. He survived, and he was in the throes of all of that conflict and battle in World War II. Truly one of our last great heroes, and a gentle man, and just one of the best men that I knew. And so it was very sad to hear that news. And Henrietta, many people have asked, she's doing great, and that's a wonderful thing. But we think about them today. Also, I want to share this because it's been a long time coming, and it's just one of the neatest stories. And if you ever say, what can God do for me? Well, let me tell you what God does for us. As many of you know, Lori Ossoli and Ken have gone through, I call it a season of turmoil, and it was quite a season. And one thing that we have been praying for, and if you're a Wednesday nighter, you know we pray for this a lot in their Bible study, is that Lori would receive disability for the things that she has to endure on a daily basis. And this poor lady is racked with pain and deals with things that most people would never want to have to deal with. And so our hearts are always praying and lifting up Lori. But Lori got the news, and it is nothing short of an unbelievable miracle. This stuff doesn't happen. She received disability. It happened in it quicker than 4 months. It doesn't happen like that, folks. It is truly a miracle. Lori has been provided for and taken care of, and this storm, we believe, is soon to be over. And so praise God. And for you too, you didn't waver, you didn't leave, you just prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and God was with both of you. And so we did. We joined you in it, but boy, it was fun. It was fun to see two people who are so dedicated to Christ and who believe in his power. And so we celebrate that with you guys today. Lori, I know you ran into Cam, and Cam quickly called me and told me, and I was like, this is awesome. So we're celebrating. Of course, Ken, thanks for the text too. Sorry for blowing your eardrums out with my huge, you can do that over text too. All right, and then for everybody else who's dealing with things, you know, we're going to lift these things up before the Lord, but we get to see answered prayers and healings and deliverance, all those great things. That's what we celebrate. One last thing I want to mention. Our friend Cork Thompson is going to the hospital tomorrow. He'll be there for 2 days. Is that right, Bonnie? For tests. So just continue to lift him up. The two words that we love that surround Cork and Bonnie are cancer-free. And we continue to pray for them and ask that God will continue to deliver them and help them and keep you safe as you travel down there. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. You can join us here at the front if you wish. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we praise your holy name, and this is what we do today because you continue to make your presence manifest among us in ways that we sometimes discount and probably never see coming. Father, thank you for helping those who have struggled for so long and for giving them the peace and comfort that only you can provide. We love these miracles, and we're obliged to share them today with each other, especially for those who are struggling and hurting. That gives us hope. And Father, we thank you for being the author of hope. Father, today I praise you and I thank you for not only helping us to celebrate these miracles, but for allowing us to come before you when we are hurting, when we're lonely and grieving. I pray that you'll be with the Phillips family. We've lost a great one, and Father, I pray that you'll sustain them and strengthen them, and I thank you for the smile that Henrietta puts on her face every day and the joy that she uses to fill the hearts of those around her. We're grateful. I thank you for the impact that Jim and Henrietta have had on their family and friends. Father, I pray that you'll strengthen me this week as I continue to consider and work on this sermon that will be given at that service. I pray that you'll be with every single person that gathers here because every person in this building today is going to go out and they're going to do their ministry. And you've called them to do ministry. And I pray, Father, that wherever they go, that they will share Jesus with whomever they're with. And I pray that we will see and they will see and everybody will see Jesus Christ in us and through us. And so, Father, today I pray that you will help us to ingest Jesus. I pray that we will want to feed on Jesus' word, his will, wisdom, and his way. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to take in this ultimate soul food. Father, I thank you for helping us to value it as much as we have today and for showing us through the bread and the cup of how you continue to help us to strengthen us and sustain us. And I pray today that we'll remember the things that we read and see. Father, for every person that's listed on our bulletin, every person that's going through difficulty and tragedy, I pray that you'll lift them up. I pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe and watch over them and give them that hope that they need. And Father, I pray ultimately that your holy and sovereign will be done, because we know it's perfect. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this time of worship. And thank you for the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, of which we are grateful for, not only today, but every day. Help us to become disciples who serve you and love you and teach others the word. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. And with that being said, folks, let me close the service with this. Just another quick reminder, because I know we get busy and sometimes it just things get crazy and we forget. Remember Wednesday night? I'm sorry, Wednesday night, no Bible study following Wednesday night. No Bible study. Pray for us that following Wednesday night. This is going to be a crazy, crazy week in our lives. So, and with that being said, to everyone who gathered and worshiped with us today, thank you. It is an honor and a pleasure to serve with you and to be part of you. And Wes, I think I know where you're going, and I'm going there, I think. If I'm not, you show me. Chuck and Wilma? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's kind of neat, and you know, Wes, I got this one. So it's really neat, because we love when, I don't even like calling people guests, because when you're in the house of the Lord, you're never really a guest. You're a member of that house. You're a member of that family. But Chuck and Wilma Lormis, you guys have been here before. Here's the neat thing about Chuck and Wilma. Chuck and Wilma are very, very strong in a missions program in which they go out, tutor, and help fellow missionaries or people who may not know a lot about missions, or churches who need help learning about or doing missions better. Chuck, a former pastor, Wilma, a former missionary, and together have combined forces to just go out and help and sustain those individuals who need help and need to learn about the power of missions. And by the way, Jessica, you kind of showed us about the power of missions. So with that being said, Chuck and Wilma, it's great to have you. And I love that you sat in the back row. I'd be right there with you if I could. And so you're always welcome here. You're not guests. I mean, you guys are your family. So it's just great to see you guys. And thanks for all that you do and for the work that you do every day. Your ministry is not, it's not gone unnoticed. So praise God. Thank you. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Go out and enjoy the weather. God bless.